Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mavote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performances dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. Happy New Year and compliments of 2025. I'm so sorry that for the rest of the holiday season, I condemned you to depressing content like President Cyril Ramaphosa's Christmas message and such stuff. I mean, like, you know, stuff that drives people to slitting one's wrist. We are back. And for at least another 48 weeks, you will never feel abandoned again like Johannesburg traffic lights. Deputy President Paul Mashatile has to be the unluckiest politician alive. I mean, just after ascending into office, his bodyguards bludgeoned the motorists and his passengers just for fun on the N1 highway. And then late last year, the DP collapsed on stage while addressing a crowd. Reports varied from heat wave, fatigue, food poisoning, and ANC succession battles. And then on Tuesday, he was kicked out of a house in Khayelitsha, Cape Town, where he was doing door-to-door visits in the leaders to the ANC's January 8th statement event. More like Khan 8 with your January 8th. Shame, man. But as they say on the social streets, asikho lapho. This week's guest is someone I used to find at a drop of a hat. Whenever I was bored or unprepared, I just asked him to come and talk about anything from the economy, education, or Kaiser Chiefs. Until the government of national unity was formed, he has disappeared like load shedding. When President Cyril Ramaphosa was putting together the GNU, he once again showed how much of a strategist he is, especially on the portfolios that did not go to the ANC or his ANC comrades. Knowing how much he loves the limelight, he gave sport and art and culture to Gaitin McKenzie. And ever since, the ex-prisoner has been running up and down like an SKP singing for his lunch. Ramaphosa then played a big joke on the PAC, a party popular for its slogan, "Land First, All Else Shall Follow," and gave their president the land affairs portfolio. This is the closest the PAC will ever be to delivering the land back, even to one of its many presidents. To most of the DA ministers, he gave them portfolios where they were going to do well in the process, keeping them off his back. But there was more. For 2 years or so before elections, there was a big voice in South Africa, a new kid on the block.
The first thing that we need to do is to put the right people in the right roles. To be honest with you, you need a mini purge of the public service.
Sure.
You need a mini purge of the public service. You cannot fix it otherwise. There are some really good people in the public service who could work for really good leaders, who are visionary leaders, who understand what they're doing. But there are also many who just shouldn't have never been in the roles in which they are.
South Africa was falling in love with the articulate communicator, former editor, author, strategist, and now leader of a political outfit on the rise, if you'll pardon the pun. Together with his comrades, Songezo Zibi started Rise Mzansi and caught our attention. As a result, for a small party, they even got themselves seats in the National Assembly after the elections. It was clear Songezo was going to parliament and agitate. He was going to be a thorn on the skins of our lethargic governors. Like Kermit Erasmus, who left Sundance for Orlando Pirates, Songezo left the corporate world to earn a pittance as an MP. But unlike Kermit, Songezo has not spent in ordinary time on social media telling us how bitter he is. maybe not yet. But Ramaphosa outwitted Songhezo Zibe. He made him chairman of the Standing Committee of Public Accounts, arguably the most busiest committee in government. But being chairman of SCOPA, Ramaphosa knew that instead of his ANC ministers having to answer nonsensical questions from the upstart from Qanduli, Songhezo would be inundated with auditing how many guns went missing in the South African National Defense Force, why the budget to fix parliament is gone missing, and why MPs spend more time on planes and in dining halls than in parliament. We don't see or hear him anymore. He's probably the busiest politician currently, if you do not count those who still commit to stealing from the fiscus. The revolution is not televised. At least not for Songhezo. It's not being televised. He is asking tough questions and issuing numerous reports, but those do not provide sound bites that excites my colleagues in the media. For that, we run to Gayton, Julius Malema, and former President Zuma. So finally, I traced this fellow, guys. While Parliament is in recess, I asked him to come over. He agreed. He can use some publicity, right? It's called Inside Clean Government. Commissar, greetings.
Commissar, greetings.
Long time no see. Oh, Peter, Upichile. You know, people who work in Parliament are fed. It shows that you are working.
No. Can I tell you? So during the campaign, we were in Zwelicha, King Williamstown, and there were some old ladies there. And I overheard them saying, "Is this him? He's so thin."
Exactly.
Then afterwards they said, "Why don't you look like Gwedeman Josh?"
Your colleagues live a different life. You're going through a tough time.
No. I cannot afford to be much bigger than I am. But thank you, Commissar. And I heard you saying compliments. You know, my cousin is in Canada. He works there now.
Yes.
He used to work in the public health system here. So he sent me a WhatsApp a few days ago. He said, "Amen. This compliments thing is a South African thing. People don't know what this thing is."
No, it's ours. And I'm not, Commissar, I do it till the 30th of December.
I'll do it on the 30th of December. But compliments.
Good to see you.
And compliments to
you're alive. Can I touch you?
I'm alive.
I've not seen you. Thank God for phones. At least I can call from time to time and talk to you.
About what you've been up to. But anyway, we'll get to that later.
You must be regretting, man, accepting this prestigious role. I'm sure. I mean, like, you don't have a life anymore.
No, Commissar. So I'm not regretting it at all. So we asked for this role.
You did?
Yeah,
but they approached you and said, "We want this one."
So you
could have been a minister. There's more money there.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the one you earn.
Commissar, you know, someone's got to be strategic. And Parliament gives you an independence, especially as a chair of a portfolio committee.
Yeah.
It gives you an independence that ministers don't have. You got to take things to cabinet and cabinet deliberates, takes months, you know.
Yeah.
But 90% of the time you're dealing with problems and not doing really well at them. People are upset with you and that kind of thing. You know, portfolio committee meetings take place 2 to 3 times a week. And, you know, as chair, you can be in front of a TV camera every day. And secondly, for a committee like ours, the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, the only other official in South Africa who can hold everyone to account in this way is a president.
Yeah.
Nobody else. Now you got to choose, you know, be a deputy minister to a minister you hate who's doing very badly that you have to defend, or you do the work of the president in parliament, you know. So kind of went for the latter. It was hard.
No, I can imagine that. We got amazing if you be deputy to Thembi Kadime. I mean, like, yeah, I can imagine it, man.
Not mention names yet.
And she has to account to you as a minister.
In fact, even the finance minister, I spoke to him the other day and I said, "You got to come to the committee." He agreed. Who else calls the finance committee?
Yeah.
The finance minister to answer questions, but he will come.
Okay.
So yeah, no, Commissar, it's going well.
But you know, we also know of generally a lot of ministers who don't like coming to committees to account. Especially
like
SCOPA.
Like Butiman Amela, you didn't.
They don't like. No, they think you guys are like democracy too much, man. You're overrating democracy.
No, I think what they're running away from, partly is this accountability, but I've also found that people who don't really have anything to hide, in other words, they're new in the portfolio,
You know, they have nothing to do with what happened before. So they've got no reason to worry. Yeah. General would also be afraid. And one of the things I found, Commissar, is that people also got there to just be shouted at, you know, as it happens in other portfolios.
Yeah, or ask very nonsensical questions.
Yeah,
I've sat in some of those meetings.
So I now sit with them and I say, listen, we're trying to solve the same problem in theory, right? So this is what you want to do with the committee. Are you trying to solve the same thing? If so, then come to the committee and let's talk about it. You know, you might get tough questions, but we're going to structure the conversation in such a way that it's got value for the public. We're not just going to like scream at you,
yeah,
that kind of thing. And they are coming. They are coming.
That's good.
You know, it's been,
that's good. And yeah, I mean, you know, I was speaking to a friend of mine. The things that happen in committees are fascinating. Sometimes we've got a very overzealous MP, you know, asking what a minister or a body of state, you know, tough questions like, why did you use that picture on page 3?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In an annual report. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, well, fun stuff, right? Yeah. That's the only time I want to be a politician.
No, Commissar. Then don't.
But I swear, Commissar, I mean, whether for good or bad reasons, even someone like Thembinga Dimi gets more headlines than you. You had more headlines as leader of Rise Mzansi than you've been in that space.
Can I tell you a secret? Well, it's not a secret. It's known. So, you know, there is a... So Parliament does an analysis of media coverage.
Yeah.
And I want to be fair to my former colleagues here and your colleagues in the media.
Yeah.
Actually, consistently the last... since Parliament opened... you know, in Parliament, the person with possibly the highest media coverage has either been myself or Musi.
Is that so?
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, by a mile. By a country mile.
In spite of the fact that somebody said you look like a secretary.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Somebody who's been in tears recently. A lot. But anyway, the point is, to be fair to colleagues, to former colleagues in the media, the committee has received a really, really great coverage, I have to say. And I won't lie. It's not the same as a campaign. I have to say, because the period is different.
Yeah.
But in terms of the coverage of Parliament's work, we really get more than our fair share. I'm not complaining.
Okay. Because I was about to say, you know, I mean, your chairman, who's now MEC for agriculture here in Gauteng, Vuyiswa, I thought she was even more a newsmaker than you. And you know, she even became as premier.
Right? I told her she must reshuffle.
in that one day.
Yeah, and then say to Panyaza, hey, now she's back. You know, appoint him as an MEC.
You must take over this podcast. You're doing well. I like that.
She said, no. The powers conferred in me by Premier Panyaza don't extend to reshuffle. So, you know.
Oh, the limited powers.
Yeah, they're limited.
That's powers. A pity. So, how have you found it, though? How's this 6 months been?
Commissar, have you ever been to boarding school or to RES?
I stayed in RES, but no, I've never done boarding school, yeah.
So it's been like going to RES.
Yeah.
The same thing, right? So you leave home, you get there. Jeez, this place is big.
Yeah.
And hey,
discover things. Huh?
I know that fellow, and yeah. I think I know that fellow. He's been here, and maybe he can help me understand where, you know, lecture room X is and lecture room Y is. What do they mean when they are saying this?
Yeah.
Like, it really is like that. It really is like that. Parliament is complex.
It has to be.
It's got, I mean, the rule book is over 100 pages long. The rules handbook.
As if anybody keeps the rules anyway.
Well, believe it or not, when it's convenient, MPs remember the rules.
Yeah. And
John Steenhuisen apparently knows it by heart. Like, he can recite it.
Wow.
So if you're going to challenge, you know, he always rides on rule X.
Yes.
Because he knows, right? So anyway, so you get there, you don't know much, right? And you realize, there is a reason why people fall asleep in the afternoon. Yay. Hey.
People read up
in the morning. But also the shock, having basically pressured and lobbied and so on for us to get scope. Now they tell me the stuff. They tell me the scope of the
work.
Ah, now I nearly regretted it. I nearly phoned
Slengwa and said, Slengwa, please
stop. Because Commissar, there's over 300 entities at scope I'm responsible for, which you must oversee annually.
Which pretty much means working every day.
It means working every day, comes. Literally, I mean, I'm working actually this week.
Right, and you're supposed to be in recess.
And by the way, to be on this podcast, I had to postpone the meeting with the staff, by the way. Just
please,
so you
please
know.
Please say that again, guys. Please listen to that.
Just so you know. I was supposed to have a meeting with Parliament staff. It's taking tomorrow. It's taking place tomorrow now because I had to be on your podcast.
Ah, man. See. That's why we win awards.
Exactly.
Wow. So it's hard.
So it's hard, Commissar.
But you spend the first time, the first better part of the time trying to understand this animal you're going to deal with.
And helping the members of the committee do the same. I mean, we've got a veteran of the committee, Veronica Mente from the EFF. She's really helpful because she remembers things from last time and what was said. So if somebody is lying, you know, you will look at each other and she starts shaking her head softly like, it's not.
Yeah. The maths is not maths, isn't it?
And then
she puts up her head and I say, Honorable Man, then she deals with it, right?
But you also are a leader of the committee. So you need to get the people from all of these political parties to work together, to gel, to kind of be comfortable with one another.
To be cordial, to
accept the program that is set by the chair.
Yeah.
And be inclusive in how you do that. So it's not just like chairing meetings. There has to be a team spirit and so on. And one of the sort of the unwritten rules in the committee is that we take jabs at one another in the National Assembly.
Yeah.
In the picture.
Not in the committee.
Not in the committee.
Oh, wow.
Not in the committee here because South Africans expect us to be serious and deal with the issues and corruption and all of these things are serious. So if we start jabbing at each other, come on, you know. So it's one of the things that keeps the committee kind of coherent. Takes time. As well as understanding Transnet, PRASA, you know, all of these things. Commissar, you can't oversee something you don't understand.
Yes, you have to immerse yourself in this.
You have to immerse yourself
now,
in it.
Does that come with extra stuff to help you research and get things like that?
Shem, we've got two heroic researchers. We've got a content producer, the person who produces our reports and that kind of thing, but also the researchers, you know, Shem, they are two of them. They're really good. In fact, all the people that we have in Parliament are good, but the staff of the committee is small. It's about 8 people in total to work on, to support the committee, which has got 11 members on over 300 entities. So it's a lot of work. We sleep late. We wake up early. You know, we read hundreds of pages of documents. Yeah, I got a letter the other day. It's 81 pages long.
Wow. Wow. Please tell me it was triple line spacing and no, and no, 42 so, point so, font.
Legal letter. I mean, not against the committee, but it was very aggressive towards the committee at the same time. So you got that. So on Fridays, I deal with something like, I don't know, 300 emails and other things and preparing for the next week and that sort of thing. But this is very important work, Commissar. It's got to be done. Yeah, it's got to be done.
There must be perks. I mean, you know, well, I went to pick you up at reception. I didn't see blue lights, you know, which is the current debate between Stian Hazen. Sure, I felt sorry for him. You know, I mean, the youngest of those cars was bought in 2020. I mean, really, the poor fellow, but that's not why we're here. Some perks. I mean, do you bodyguards, kind of, no, you know, lots
can,
of money?
Can I share a story with you? Can I share a story with you? So I went to the leaders' meeting of the GNU.
Yes.
Now, it's the president and the rest are all ministers or deputy ministers.
Yes.
They all have bodyguards.
Yes.
I had, you know, I normally hire myself a car when I'm down there, a small car. So yeah. I had a Hyundai Iden.
So when you said small, you meant small.
Yeah.
So I don't need anything small.
I had a Hyundai Iden. I'm driving myself and we rock up at Genadendal. And
I know Canada very well.
And shame, you know, like the security people.
They look
like,
at this guy and thinking,
well, can we help you? Like, then I have to say, it's me, you know. So anyway, so eventually, like, I pull up. They don't even know I should park. Because the other guys are being dropped off
by their blue lights. Right? And they'll be picked up later.
And they're going to be picked up later. Yeah. But me now, if you find, then I park among the security cars, there, like in my I-10, and it disappears.
Among those big cars.
Yeah, it was quite amusing, Commissar, I must say. But I also realized if you're a person with low self-esteem, that can bother you.
Yes.
You know, if you've got a massive ego, it can hurt. But I was actually hoping to arrive last, you know.
and the rest of them would be standing up on the top, and hopefully there'd be a long driveway where they're all chatting, having drinks, and they're wondering, hey, who's coming up there?
They would have thought it's a cleaner.
But it didn't happen. There are trees there. They couldn't see.
In fact, I would think if anything, if you drove that car and went in there, it actually says a lot about being chairman of Scopa, right? Saying, I actually want to see how you guys spend public funds. I want to see how you guys spend.
I also looked at the food. I was like, okay, are you having an expensive 7-course meal? Or
yeah, that's why when I saw you, I thought, he clearly is not eating the food that's been fed there. I spent 2 years in Parliament, Commissar. I know the kind of food that goes around there.
Right? You didn't write a story about selling the ocean, did you? Let's not go there. Let's not go there, Commissar.
So, highlights?
So the highlight for me, you know, there's something I didn't expect, Kolisa, is how emotional being sworn in the whole process was going to be for me. It really was. Mm. The weight of the responsibility really became clear. Because, you know, in the National Assembly, these are the 400 people that over 60 million South Africans trust to do a good job. When you look at it that way, you think, damn. You know, like, you have to take this very seriously. You can't just come here for vibes, right? Because you taking the seat of someone who otherwise would do a good job.
Arguably.
You get what I mean.
Yeah, I get you.
You're taking a very important seat, and it was really emotional for me. For days after, I was really touched by the experience, and also just taking the whole experience in. Parliament can be extremely efficient. You know, Madam Speaker walks in 30 seconds before the start of proceedings. She bows, she greets the House, and she says, a moment of silent meditation and prayer. And it's really a moment, like 5 seconds.
Yes.
And then she sits down, and at exactly 2 o'clock, she says, the first order of business is no small talk, no jokes, no nothing.
Yeah,
on time. You allocated time. If you don't finish speaking, you get shut down.
Which is where, by the way, I mean, how do you, the balance for you, right? Here you are, chairman of this most important committee, and then you represent a small party. I mean, I'm sure your time is a sneeze.
Between 3 and 4 minutes.
But
you know what? We're able to clip my entire speech organas all the time for Twitter and so on. All of it.
Yeah.
Right, you don't like sending felicitations and greetings to whoever, comrades. No, none of that. You have to get to the point, which in the digital age is great because attention spans are short.
Yes.
And shame, you know, poor Musi, the one time he forgets he's not in the DA.
Yes,
anymore.
And he's leader of opposition.
Yeah,
right?
He forgets he's not in the DA anymore. So the time allocation is small, right? And then he's still doing greetings, and then they tell him his time is up.
He should go. Do you know who I am?
And then he says, what? I felt sorry for him.
I know he'll adjust. But also, he's a churchman also. I mean, it's a combination of the past and the fact that he's a preacher.
But these days, you know, he's on the ball.
He's getting better and better.
Yeah, no. After that, he remembered. You know, he's on the ball. We sit next to each other.
Yeah. Low lights?
There are some low lights. You know, the thing is, Parliament can be incredibly frustrating. You know, Commissar, I'm not, given the extent of the problems that we have in South Africa and how desperate people are, I still can't understand the theatrics. I understand them, but I still can't. I find it difficult. I don't participate in it because sometimes it's a very important issue. And people are just...
Well, you know, we sit here and hope everything that happens there is important, right?
And it is. I'll give you an example. This was televised, right? So it was that anti-GBV day. And 16 days of activism. This is a really important thing. I mean, the speaker had to tell colleagues, including ministers, that if you don't respect what this is about, just... God's eye.
Or keep quiet,
please. Like you don't expect people's grandfathers and dads to be told that. Come on. You know what I mean, Commissar? So there are things where I'm just like, the jibes are okay, the banter, the heckling is fine. But sometimes you got to realize this is important. There are millions of people watching us, and we must be serious because we want to send a message. What were they saying? They were saying, don't take this stuff seriously, you know. So those can be low lights for me.
That's other than the fact that half the time, but you know, from time to time, there would be again an ANC member who's asking an ANC minister tough questions like, when was the ANC formed?
No, they do ask tough questions, except that the minister somehow has an answer ready in their reading.
Exactly.
They're reading it. Okay. Who really asked the question? Did somebody say, ask me this question?
Why does SCOPA matter?
So SCOPA matters because what we are supposed to be doing is to minimize loss of money by the public.
Yeah.
Or eliminate it if possible. That's our job. People think it's chasing after people who've stolen money. That happens in the course of doing the work. But the most important thing is to fulfill the constitutional obligation to say South Africans need to get the best bang for buck. Right. So while people, to many people, understandably, corruption, chasing corruption is important, to SCOPA, it matters that the government overpays for services.
Mm.
Because if we're paying good value for money, suddenly NSFAS is able to pay for another 50,000 youngsters.
Yes.
Okay, so those things are important. Interrogating how much government is paying for things and so on. Are we overpaying? Are we not overpaying? This is really important. Secondly, is money being wasted in other ways? Do you pay for things you're not going to use? And so those kind of things are important to South Africans, Commissar, because we end up borrowing a lot of money that then gets wasted like that. And if we're successful at our job, hopefully, and I say this all the time, SCOPA will be very boring where, you know, people go there.
Well, we hope it gets to that point where it's boring.
NSFAS is not under administration. They're running everything smoothly. Yeah. They come and present, and it's an hour, and people are falling.
But to go through that, Keita, to make sure that the money is not wasted, it means you have to comb through that information with a very, very fine comb. I mean, I can't imagine how much stuff can be hidden in miscellaneous.
I'll give you an example. Yeah. I'll give you an example, Commissar, very quickly. So there is an entity. I won't name them because they're coming, so the public will know about them. They've accumulated hundreds of millions in interest. Hundreds of millions in interest in 1 year. They're supposed to perform a very important service to the public. Yeah. Now, that only happens when you've got lots of money in the bank, right?
Yeah, which means you're not spending the money. Because you're not a money-making entity, right?
Now you're like, hey, how do you make all of this interest? But at the end of the year, you've got very little money left in the bank. You see, as somebody with corporate experience and so on, I know they start spending towards the end of the year and do it hurriedly.
Yeah.
You see, things like that, you got to cash because it means people were suffering for 10 months without the service they need. And then at the end of the financial year, there's a possibly haphazard job that's done to... No, you see, you got to look at things like that and say, now, hang on, now show us your monthly balances for the whole year. We want to see something.
And I suppose when they report on the expenditure, they have to also tell you about the activities against So when there are no activities, you can't be showing me much of
You expense. You ask for things. So how many people received money from you each month? We want to know, right? And now you see, you're going to see things there. We're like, oh, so the number is low during these months, and then you need to ask why. Why are you not dispersing the money? What's the problem, right? So that's our job. It's not just to, it's also to make sure that people get what's due to them, when it's due to them. Not because some bureaucrat has decided you're not going to get it.
It sounds like fun, but you know, I sit here and I think you would have still... have been more fun as a minister, even if it was for correctional services. I mean, you know, to hold, what's his name? Pesta, that guy, accountable.
Terrible.
So that he doesn't escape again. You know?
I don't know.
But I think we have a good correctional.
Well, people have said that, you know, due to his sort of kind of background and so on, maybe he's the right guy. They're like, yeah, this one will take no nonsense.
So there's one thing that comes with your space. And whether you're in parliament or extra parliamentary politics or even chairperson of SCOPA, is that at some point you'll be accused of in favor of one party or another.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I'm sure you have that all the time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Does it swing always, or is it always?
No, you know, some people. So you know what? One of the things I've found is that some people want predetermined outcomes as well. So one of the things I'm really insistent on is being fair.
Yeah.
This 81-page letter was accusing the NPA, the Hawks, I think the SIU, the AG, everybody of really bad behavior. And that there must be an independent inquiry. What's the right thing to do? The right thing to do is to send that letter to those same entities and say, I want detailed answers on this. And then we'll decide what to do. Now, while we're busy doing that, the author of the letter's lawyers now send us another letter to say we're not serious about fighting corruption. Like, okay. So I have to explain that we have a process here. I can't start an inquiry on the basis of your say-so. I haven't met you. I don't know you. I've got no way. I have to ask these guys to explain.
Especially those that you are accusing, right?
Yes, I mean, and then we determine as a committee whether we are happy with the explanations or not. And if we are not happy, what steps do we need to take? And then we will keep you informed. But you can't come here and accuse us of it. So there is that. And then, of course, there are people who forum shop. So they've been to another entity already. They feel things are moving too slow. Then they come to us and then immediately they start bashing you because I sent this to you 2 days ago. And
so the other issue that I wonder about your job is at which point, what are your powers? I mean, what could you do if these guys were not spending money and are bringing back into the fiscal, could have brought back into the fiscal 100 million rands until they spend at the last moment? But what are your powers? What could you do?
So, I mean, the first thing we're able to do is, to kind of bring them and basically instruct them to fix a problem and report within a certain period.
Yeah.
Right? They can't say no, especially if they... The parliament's request is lawful. In other words, you're not asking them to do anything illegal. So you're able to monitor them on a much closer basis. So there's a few entities that are going to be sending us quarterly reports.
Yeah.
Quarterly return reports. So that we can monitor whether they're doing what they said they would do. We can also get the Portfolio Committee on Appropriations to withhold funds.
Oh.
At budget time.
Yes.
That's why we have to approve all the annual financial statements and then so on and audit reports. We can say for this program, these guys are wasting this money and the DG or whoever must pay that money back from, they must explain what they shouldn't get, but don't give them money.
So you can literally put people in the naughty corner.
We can put people in the naughty corner like that. And also we can set the SIU on them, the Special Investigating
Unit. Yes.
Oh, yeah. We've got a memorandum of understanding with them. There's quite a few entities under investigation by the SIU at the committee's behest.
Yeah, except that the president signs SIU since 3 years after.
No shame. In fairness, you know, lately... So I'm told there was a history of these things going into file 13.
Yeah.
Lately, they are being approved within 3 months, which is 90 days.
That's good. Right.
So it's an improvement.
90 days is a short time.
In government, yeah.
In government is a very short time. Yeah.
But one of the things I keep asking the SIU all the time, are there any proclamations that are waiting, that are overdue? And they've given us a number, but they've explained where they are in the process. And we ask the SIU rather than the politicians, because it's the SIU that applies.
Yes.
So they will tell us, this is when we submitted the application, this is where it is, etc. Then we can work out from the SIU's end rather than asking the presidency, you know, to make an excuse. So that kind of gives us a picture. And the picture is improving. But there are some old ones that are now in the process that we're just sitting there.
As a matter of interest, does the SIU appear before SCOPA?
Oh, yes. Regularly. In fact, they are a partner of ours.
Yes.
We usually, before we call you REMS as a DG and a minister, we will typically first have a presentation from the Auditor General,
And if the SIU is busy there, from the SIU, then you can come in. But we're going to hear from those guys first before we talk to you.
So as we conclude, Commissar,
how's family doing? Do they see you? I mean, you know, things happen, Commissar. I mean, the milkman, okay, maybe the gardener. Do you get to see the children? You get to, you know.
The Wi-Fi.
No. So I commute weekly.
Yeah.
Between Gauteng and the Western Cape. Which means at least on weekends I get to be
around. Okay.
On most weekends I get to be around, which is really good. You know, otherwise the kids might ask, you know, who's this old man?
Yeah.
Who's here? But it's hard, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's really tough because the flying up and down is rough. Usually the days on which I get to Cape Town in the evening, I have to go through documents.
Mm.
Typically, there is a Zoom meeting with the Auditor General, SIU, whatever, in preparation for the week and so on, as I was explaining, to go to bed at 10 and so on. But I must say, those also, the civil servants, they are really diligent. Commissar, they are people who really do the Lord's work here.
Mm.
Don't know their names. They are not prominent. They take a lot of risks. And they serve the committee and the South African people with such commitment, Commissar.
That's beautiful to hear.
And I want to say one of the things, Commissar, I have, and you must please tell me, and the listeners of this podcast must always tell me, I believe if I step out of line, I believe you can ask tough questions without disrespecting and humiliating people. You know, Commissar, public servants are under all sorts of pressures. You know, like they get asked to do stupid or crazy things, whatever the case is, right? And they come and they account to Parliament. That's somebody's father, that's somebody's mother or sister or aunt or whatever the case is. A human being, right? They usually have left their families. Somebody has to drop off their kids at school. I don't ever want them to feel I'm going there to be humiliated. I always want them to feel that I'm going to answer tough questions, but my dignity will be respected as a human being. And I think when we do that, we also enhance the dignity and reputation of Parliament. And I always, as last thing, Commissar, we had to send the officials of the Department of Higher Education back because Budimanamela ran away. Now, we had to choose whether to continue with them, but if we do, we create a bad precedent where, you know, politicians can just skip and the civil servants are left carrying the can. I apologize to them. I apologize to them. I said, I am really, really sorry. I know some of you took the 5 o'clock flight to get here. I hate doing this, but we must do it for this reason. And please, you know, like just keep, you know, doing the work that you're doing. We respect you and so on. I think that's important. I think that's
very important. Yeah. In fact, on that, the previous note, it's a view I've held. I've written about it before. When I was a practicing journalist, I used to say, you don't have to be confrontational to be tough.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I never asked suit-cut questions, but I never fought with anyone in an interview.
You don't have to call them names. No, you don't need to. You can ask, but why did you do this? The right thing is this. You did that. Why did you do it? What's your justification? How are you going to fix it? You know, why shouldn't we hold you accountable?
Yeah.
You can ask all of those things, but respect people's dignity, Commissar. That's really important.
So when I see you in 6 months' time...
No, that won't be in 6 months. It will not be in 6 months. So you've written a book, you see. You've written a book, and I thought it's political.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys think that way about
political,
me.
Political, and I thought it's about maybe sport and pirates and this kind of thing, or maybe you reminiscing about your days in the Learn First, Ocean Follow movement. And then I get this book, and then I find that... It's from the other side. You know. So what's going to happen is we're going to come back and sit here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you some questions.
So you're going to sit on this chair and I'm going to sit on that one.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to ask you some questions.
And I'm going to answer to you.
I'm going
to
ask you.
You're going to be chairman of SCOPA and I'm going to ask you.
You're going to be under interrogation over the PG-18 matters that you've...
that's official.
That's official.
So the next conversation, you are
interviewing you
about the sweetest taboo.
Yes. Well, that interview might not be so sweet.
Chairman of
SCOPA. We'll get to see if you wrote the book or you had a ghostwriter.
Commissar, always wonderful having you.
Oh, thank you, Commissar. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the MySovation app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker, or facilitator at your next event. It is the only thing I can do better than satire and sarcasm. From me, Rams Mabote, good night and God bless.